Almighty and Eternal Father, and we thank you that we can assemble together to worship your spiritual church. And that you should grant unto us guidance and wisdom and knowledge in this vital hour. Lord, that what you have purposed to do, you should bring to pass. That we fix our faith upon thy covenant and upon thy word. The total realization of the ultimate triumph that shall come forth in thy kingdom. Recognizing the turbulence of this hour, the strategies of the darkness, the true victories of the powers of evil, knowing the ultimate achievement of thy pattern is thy power, thy majesty and thy life is made single in the earth. We pray, our Father, as we meditate upon the content of thy word and the pattern of thy purpose, that you shall cause us to evaluate the things through which we pass, the conditions of the crises of this hour. And we say thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as we meditate upon thy word, praying for this nation, recognizing the eternal structure of the nations of thy kingdom, of the spiritual center of thy church, and of thy ability to lift up in thy household leadership for this day. And we say thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Yeah. The generous face the similar pressures of the previous week. Over 30% of your congregation travels by bus, sometimes more. We still have a bus strike till tomorrow morning, though it's technically settled. No transportation for many people. The result is that it affects not only this congregation, it affects it quite strongly, especially our afternoon congregation. Again, we see the impact of the forces today which can affect and can control and are part of a master plan before you are through as they experiment with these areas, the entire structure of your life. One of these things that we see before us now, of course, is the trend, the conditions which they're trying to experiment with to see just how totally dependent your society will be upon the areas of manipulation. Concerning our thinking this afternoon concerning righteousness and justice, because there are so many people that are shaken in their confidence in the areas from whence they look for justice and for righteousness. There are a great many people who today have had greater hopes of greater statesmanship in the United States Senate, two-thirds to three-quarters of which should never be returned when they come up for re-election. I point out to you in these remaining hours while we are permitted, and then we'll discuss it further after we are not permitted, the evils of what's called civil rights, and which are not civil rights, but civil law. In this day, which is, of course, the first Sunday after the decisions of the court, or rather the Senate, we see the setting aside of many, many historical traditions in these United States. Now, the bill's not all through. They've got to ratify it, of course, in the House. It's got to be signed by the President. And we hear many rumors that are coming from areas of report, and, of course, television, radio, and even out of areas of Washington, of how they're going to immediately implement this bill and how they're going to interpret the passage of the civil rights legislation. In fact, over television yesterday, they said, one good thing that will come out of this bill, it will totally prohibit anybody talking or saying anything against Jews or Negroes in the United States. Well, I'm going to cite to you that they can't make any law that abridges any area of religion. And they will not make any law that will determine what this pulpit will declare. If such a legislation is passed, it's unconstitutional. There is no way to abridge the Bill of Rights or its Constitution and remain the constitutional government of these United States to which all of us have pledged allegiance. It is the responsibility of every Christian to support his government when that government performs in accordance with its tradition and with the will of God. Whether is it better that he serve man or God? The most important thing for us to recognize that this is a legislation against discrimination, but you cannot be a Christian and not discriminate. Because the laws of God have laid down a blueprint and a pattern of life. And the Christian is the follower of the embodiment of God who continues to call upon his sons and his daughters to conform to the pattern of his spirit. There are ways that some men are sold upon because of the propaganda institutions and machinery of the world order of our time. Never has there been such an opportunity to pressure men and to seek to force all of their thinking into a confirmation of their desires as then there is today. With the use of propaganda and television and radio and press to continually beat upon people by the control of minority groups, the design of the world order. Now we say minority groups, it means United States, but not in the world. The nations of God's kingdom are 1/6 of the world's population. You are a minority yourselves in the world. But in these United States, you're not a minority, and you better wake up to that and retake over the administration of your nation. If you don't do that, my friends, you can be a slave to a minority in your own nation. Someone said this can't be done constitutionally. Well, sure we can, if we can't awaken the 3/4 of our nation to possess the power to retain in their own hands their own destiny, then, my friends, we are a sorry people. I point out to you that we have had a lot of propaganda the last few days. We've looked at a confident and smiling president who thinks that he's accomplished a great propaganda victory. But I point out to you that we're looking at a brainwashed, controlled president who has totally repudiated the positions which he held when he was senator of the state of Texas. For when he was the senator of the state of Texas, he denounced all civil rights legislation, all racial legislation, as being a suppression of the rights of the state, as being an interfering process that would bring in the federal government to intervene in the affairs of business and in the social life and the economic life of the nation and in private business. And in personal affairs, he said it was not within the jurisdiction of the government and would spell catastrophe in these United States. And then as president of the United States, as a result of a communist assassin's bullet, he has been taken over to repudiate the positions which he held as a senator, to become one of the major instruments in the passage of the most infamous invasion of the rights of individuals in the history of the United States government. So it said, this has now become law. No, it's not law until it is signed into law by the president. They anticipate they're going to have this accomplished by the 4th of July. And I've been listening to the prating, pranting, talking of a great number of ranting people who say, at last we have equality and we have justice. I'm going to tell you something about justice. You can't have justice unless it conforms to righteous law. And you don't have righteous law unless it proceeds forth out of God. So there only comes one source of righteousness and one source of justice. And this must emerge forth out of the Most High God. So I instruct you that as Christians, we are responsible to become aware of what the law of God contains. Your righteousness is not merely in the confirmation to that law from the standpoint of attaining by this an area of self or individual righteousness, but you are wrapped up in the righteousness of God. Because you are spirit of his spirit and life of his life, therefore there exists in you an area of conscious awareness and of thinking responsibility. And as you become enveloped in the thinking of God, you put on his righteousness. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It is well for Isaiah to talk about the righteousness of men and how men sometimes pride themselves upon their accomplishment. I have been sickened by listening to the self-righteous talk of the greatest piece of political hypocrisy in the history of the United States. No wonder, therefore, that Isaiah can well say in the 64th chapter that all of our righteousness are like filthy rags before the righteousness of God. I am determined that it is important for us to know what God's righteousness consists of, that we understand the patterns of his law as it is based upon fact, reality, and existence, not the exceptions of an idea or a position that is something subject to argument, but the recognition of something that relates to the way things are formed and the way they exist. The law of God is not something that is accepted or rejected on the basis of argument. It's something that exists in relationship to how all things are synthesized. Therefore, whether it be in a chemical realm or a mathematical realm, whether it be in a spiritual realm or whether it be in the physical realm and the preservation of posterity or the patterns of species or the areas of anything in God's formation of how he has formed to put things together, the law is not something for controversy. The law is a fixed factor of existence. Now, the righteousness of God does not change. The righteousness of God is the utter aura of his conscious existence. For every thinking thought process out of the Most High God is the emanation of energy forms of everything that shall be and everything that has been out of him. It is not only the majesty of the radiation of the energy forces of his celestial existence or the embodied emanation of the aura of his life as he walks among men. It is the existing, living awareness, the extended authority and power of the will of the Most High God by which all things are put together. Therefore, the essence of divine emanation, of consciousness, of awareness, of being, is righteousness. This is the reason why I tell you, therefore, that we dwell in the righteousness of Christ as Christians, that if we are not dwelling in the righteousness of Christ, then we are being subjected to the error of the world order. By such a stress, therefore, we sometimes find people unable to interpret some of the things by translation that are contained in the Word of God. But it is important for us to recognize in some of these things the fact. Well, we are told here that we who are the children of the Most High God, it says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, who are they? They are the sons of God. Well, we have not received a spirit of bondage again, but we have received this great spirit of the positioning of sons, whereby we say, our Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If we are the children of God, we are the heirs of God, and we are joint heirs with Christ. Now, under this very instance again, there are people who continually live only by the senses, by the flesh, and the mind of the flesh. Most of these people are not members of your race. If they are members of your race, it is because they have been enveloped as almost casualties in the wavelengths of energies and propagandas and concepts of the enemy, subjected by all the patterns of temptation by which they appeal to men through the patterns of lust or through the abilities of the senses. But there is a working pattern within the children of God, which is the essence of his spirit. This we talked to you about in the book of Corinthians, as we referred you to the words of Paul concerning the spirit that dwells in you. Now we read these words, therefore, if Christ be in you, that is something at work. The spirit of that of him, the eternal God that raised up the body of God from the dead, dwells in you. It raises and quickens your mortal bodies. Now, therefore, the spirit is life because of righteousness, because this is the very essence of this energy form of God's own nature and being. Therefore, the law of the spirit of life, which dwelt in the embodied Christ, dwells in you, because Christ is also in you. I turn now back to Corinthians, and I point out to you again, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is God, made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. He that glorieth, let him glory in Yahshua, or in the embodiment of God, or his revelation. Ye therefore are in the righteousness of God, because ye have in your conscious awareness become aware of him, because you are the children of the Father, you are spirit of his spirit, you are life of his life. Thus the Apostle Paul continues in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians to say, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even this hidden wisdom that God ordained before the foundation of the world to your glory. This may seem repetitious, but it's important that we recognize, therefore, that I have not seen or heard in the natural senses all that God prepares for those that are his, but you know it, because the spirit that dwells in you is not the kind of spirit that dwells in the world or the world order. It's the spirit which is of God. Because, therefore, ye are spirit of his spirit, he is your Father, and he has begotten you. Therefore, the very power of divine life and nature dwells in you, and his righteousness becomes your righteousness as you, in your conscious awareness, think as he thinks. I point out to you that all the successes and achievements of our race have been the byproduct of the indwelling capacity of the spiritual life and seed of God that dwelt in us called the Holy Seed, that not only gave us a higher capacity in spiritual understanding, but developed our intellect in the vastness of occupation of the earth in accordance with his plan, and produced even in the physical brain higher activity and greater results than any people on the face of the earth. Now, therefore, it is important in understanding the patterns of righteousness and justice that justice is the performance by the decree, by the law of things as they are, by the very essence of the righteousness of God and His will, the carrying out of administration of the functions of life or the decisions that are essential for the preservation of a civilization or a culture, or in your dealings with all of your race or with all peoples round about. If you deal with the perceptions of God in righteousness, it is justice, and without righteousness, there is no justice. I point out that we have seen very little justice, and certainly no righteousness, in the Supreme Court of the United States for a long time. Even in this week, we've had more decisions that invade the areas of the rights of states, and they invade the Constitution's provisions. And by these very situations, we are faced with the fact that today, we're not staying within the limitations of the areas of power, even branches of government, led by the world order, whose design is to establish the program of Antichrist and destroy your civilization. We see the functions of this as it operates in areas of government. It's not lost. It's not gone. The nations of God's kingdom are going to survive, and the children of the Most High, as the righteous, shall stand up, and they're going to possess the kingdom, and they're going to restore this thing. And we're going to eliminate from areas of authority and power those that would destroy. Now listen. I turn to this record again. We know these things because we are not like the natural men, because we are the children of God. We are the possessors of His Spirit. We have the mind of Christ. We are His heirs. Now, in the declaration of the Scripture, I turn to the book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, where God speaks to His race, and behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, when I raise up unto David the righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and execute judgment and justice. And in those days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is His name whereby He shall be called. He is Yahweh our righteousness. By this same declaration, God also makes a declaration as to why we have trouble. In this interlude, for which we are now waiting to see the final manifestation of God in the leadership of His people in the earth, we have watched God's blessings and God's covenant with our race, a great people and a company of people, a great nation and a company of nations. We have arrived under the prophecies and the patterns of measure to the climactic periods of event. We are in the last days. Because we are in the last days of one era and about to enter into a new era, we are seeing the climax of events which prophecy has declared. This is the struggle between the powers of evil and the forces of righteousness. The powers of evil are Luciferian. The forces of righteousness are a people activated by the consciousness of the mind of God. Therefore, we are in a period of Jacob's trouble. The powers of darkness want trouble for the white nations, for the kingdom of God, for the peoples of Israel, for the white people in your nation, for all of these things. Now, therefore, they always seek to belittle the children of God. Why, they say they're a peculiar people, because they believe in their God. They follow their way. And we're the majority of the earth, and we revel in all kinds of orgies of vice and violence, and they don't see the likeness. They don't know what pleasure is. They don't know what life's all about. So the kingdom of God must be crazy. They don't accept our program, our world order. But the Scripture declares that this is the way the world thinks, and this is the way the world tries to caricature you, because you believe God. Now, you know what's happened? We have had a ministry down through the years called out of the house of Levi and out of the house of God, from which God has raised up His ministers and His prophets, and He's spoken to His people in all generations. But we've arrived at a period of time when inside the church, which is divided into multiple denominational hierarchies, the ministers of God and the prophets of God, as they announce themselves inside of the religious centers of the physical body, are not, my friends, seeking to think or to work in the righteousness of God, but they talk about justice and equality. They talk about the procedures they must follow to bring this about, and they're actually following the world order, and they're following the policies of the world order, and instead of declaring the truth, they are declaring error. I tell you that one of the major reasons for the intense catastrophe that we've had in this past week in a legislative placard in our society as a failure of the prophets and the ministers of those who contend they are speaking for God to say, thus saith the Lord, to abide His righteousness. So out of it comes no justice. I turn in this book of Jeremiah in this 23rd chapter, and God says, my heart is broken within me because of these prophets. He says, Jeremiah cries out because he, and says also that he's heartbroken because of what he sees. For the Lord lives, and the Lord which hath wed the seed of Israel and the house of Israel, he said, is the one that should be heard. Now prophet and priest have profaned the word. Yea, my house have they profaned in wickedness, saith Yahweh. He said, I see that they walk in the way of error and in lies. They strengthen the hands of the evildoers, and they, instead of returning from their error, continue in this error. And in so doing, they are returning to the wickedness of the days of Sodom and of the inhabitants of Gomorrah. I think this is pretty prophetic. The evil of Sodom and Gomorrah was interracial mixing, mongrelization, and the intermixing of the fallen angels and the peoples of earth. And God said the ministers and prophets in the churches that he has anger against are those that have gone the ways of the wicked by advocating these policies to bring about these conditions. Now, I realize we're not supposed to talk about this, they say. But they said yesterday over the television that after the 4th of July, by which time these things will be passed, no one in America will be able to speak out against a Negro or a Jew. Why didn't the commentators say no one will be able to speak out against a white man or a Christian? Because this kind of legislation wasn't designed for white men or Christians. It was designed to end your society and end your race. And in this very instance, then, God makes a statement about this. He says, therefore, he says, they say peace, but they have no concept of it. Therefore, God said, behold, a whirlwind of Yahweh shall go forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind, and it shall fall grievously upon the heads of the wicked. The judgments of God will start moving on the houses of evil and upon the areas that have been responsible for this. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I think one family in this nation that has become a part of this has already beginning to feel the whirlwind that they sowed to. And it's not over. And I do not think among areas of leadership that any who betray the kingdom of God by the violation of his law are going to escape his judgment. Let me point out that Father said, am I not Yahweh? Am I not Yah at hand? Am I not a God that's here, saith Yahweh? Am I a God afar off? Can any man hide himself in secret places that I do not see? Do I not fill the heavens and earth, saith Yahweh? Have I not heard what these prophets prophesy? They have prophesied lies that they have dreamed up. How long, then, shall the heart of these prophets prophesy lies? How long shall their lying prophecies hurt my people? How long do they dream up these fictitious dreams? Is not my word like a fire, saith Yahweh, like a hammer that can break the rock in pieces? Behold, I am against these prophets that steal away my words and twist them. Therefore, behold, I am against them, saith the Most High. Behold, I am against their false prophecies and their evil dreams. Someone said, well, this is, of course, is not necessarily talking about our time. It's talking about the doctrine that's being embraced in race mixing, which is the ways of Sodom and Gomorrah and the catastrophe of the days of Noah, which Christ again talks about when he talks about as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the days of the return of the Son of Man. Now, you're not supposed to believe that he's going to return. If you do, they say you're crazy. But one of these days, they're going to be crazy because he has returned. Now, I point out to you that if someone had told you 10 years ago the day would come when you couldn't preach the gospel without it being against a law, not against the Constitution of the United States, but against the law of the usurpers. If someone said that it would be illegal to preach out of the content of the Gospel of John, you say, well, that can't happen in the United States. But they tell us yesterday on television after the 4th of July, it'll be illegal to oppose the Jews. But I will oppose the Jews as long as I have breath because it's still in the book and they can't burn them all up. We hear a warning. And strangely enough, that is not a strategy that they contemplate that doesn't eventually arrive to the awareness of the children of God. Every time they plot against the program of the kingdom and those that believe in thus saith the Lord, those that want righteousness to the plummet, those that want the nation and the world run under God's plan and pattern, the enemy may not like it, but this is what God likes and this is what we'll advocate. Now, by this policy and by this strategy, they are already going to try to charge Christian ministers, even vague threats concerning this ministry was seditious, and try to charge this with insanity and Christians across the nation with insanity so that their satanic mental health program can be applied to scramble the brains of those that say, thus saith the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, they don't know what fire is until they try this. Let me point out to you that the enemy better go very, very carefully, because we are already aware of their strategies. They don't have a solid link. They think that there's no holes in their areas of what they plan, and there isn't anything they plan that isn't known by the children of God in this country. I'll go just a little bit farther. What they have not evaluated is that over half of America is already stirred with what they are afraid to discuss but call the right wing. I'm glad they use that word right. You can't use right too much. When you use the term right, you're using the first half of the word righteousness. And you're on the side that Christ would be upon, because this is his law. The laws were not made by you and I. The laws are not the natural result of man's evaluation by the senses. They are not based upon the patterns of temptation or of lust. They are built upon the formation of things as they are. Therefore, my friends, the world order that does not live by the law, never had the law given to them to begin with, it was given to Israel, but they've been in rebellion ever since your race has been here, and you've been here to put the world back in order, and by the grace of God, you're going to do it. Now we turn within the strife of design. The scripture tells us that the plan as far as those that are opposed to the Most High God is to black out the situation and to end up by its mongrelization. Now, there are a lot of people that are disturbed. You'll be surprised how many people were disturbed. They had special requests. They wanted to have this answered. Just how could they have gotten this thing through? How long will the wicked triumph? How long? How long? Well, I'm reading now the 94th Psalm. They weren't the first ones to say this, David said it. You know, Robert Welch, in his opinion, had come out to say that they're not going to even stop this debate. This thing is going to keep on going. He says they can never get this civil rights legislation passed. I was just reading one of his last opinions. Said it will not go through. And all we got to do is just remember that the South will not give in. They'll never get it through. All right. Now, they're not going to finish the thing, but they're going to get it through. They'll sign it unless something happens between now and then. To the airplanes the president flies on or something, he'll sign that bill. The silly Congress will pass it. It may hold a little, a couple of weeks. Now, how long will the wicked triumph? They'll triumph till the sons of God stand up. Someone said, well, they'll always triumph in their land. So when the sons of God stand up, they're going to start marching. And when the sons of God start marching, they're not going to stop till they've walked through Moscow and Beijing on the way. Incidentally, they're going to review that upheaval and see the land made into a beautiful park, which they call Palestine. And there would be a Canaanite in it. How long will the wicked triumph? Now, don't get all heartbroken and say forever. For don't say that Yahweh can't see it and the God of Jacob's gone blind. Yahweh knows the thoughts of man. And he's not going to cast off his people, and he's not going to forsake his inheritance, but judgment shall return unto righteousness, it says. That means that the will of God, which produces the right way for administration and rule, is going to return enveloped with all the glory purposes of his being and of his creation in righteousness. Now, of course, we have a lot of foolish declarations of a world order. In fact, I was looking at a magazine that was handed to me the other day. It's a Negro magazine. And so the Negro is talking about his newfound equality and all the things that are going to come to pass. And He's going to prove that he's just as bright as the white man, even if his skull is thicker and his brain smaller. Well, that's all right. He just proved something we knew all the time. That his brain was smaller and his skull was thicker. He says, within this same situation, they talk about the fact we can't do it, but we've just proven we can do it. No, my friends. They're just the instruments of a people that are trying to overthrow God's purposes in the earth. Now, in this instance, we understand that one of the great areas of challenge that government is throwing out. Now, let's review this. When we talk about government, government today can be divided into several forms. The true government of these United States is found invested in the authority delegated to men that you select through the Constitution. And any authority that was not delegated by the Constitution is a tyrannical usurpation of your authority. Any authority that is used in opposition to this, someone said, well, the courts decided. The courts can become tyrannical. I today believe that the Supreme Courts of the United States have usurped authority to try to mold America according to the liberal traditions of the revolutionists that have taken over their thinking. So it says, you can't say that. Well, you can say that, just as long as you got a Bill of Rights that still works. And you and I better determine that we're going to keep it working. We better practice it a little. You know, too many people are silent when they should speak out. And I'm going to tell you what God is going to do. He's going to separate the men from the boys. He's going to separate people with faith from cowards. This we're going to see. I point out to you that under this instance, then, their design is diametrically in opposition to the Word of God. The continual attempt to destroy the Word of God becomes obvious. If we operate in justice and in judgment, we do not permit the pagans and the heathen to have equality in a nation of God's kingdom. They may have equality before the law for the obedience to the processes of law, but not, my friends, in association forced upon those that are the children of God in violation of his law. Whenever either court or legislature seeks to decree that you cannot discriminate in your association and you do not possess the liberty to become master of your own property, your own industry, or your own house, then, my friends, they have invaded the areas of your liberty in violation to the laws of God. I point out to you that as it relates to the race question, that the races are a problem which were presented to you when you were told to build God's kingdom and to instruct them in righteousness and to rule over them with justice and in judgment. Let's take a look at God's pattern. He has not decided that the enemy is to rule the earth. He said, I have made a covenant with my chosen. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Therefore, the declaration is, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne, and mercy and truth shall go before thee. Blessed is the people that know this joyful sound, for they shall walk, O Yahweh, in the light of thy countenance. Now, in this same declaration, the Most High says that my covenant I will not break, nor all of the thing that has gone out of my mouth. God establishes his kingdom, he establishes his throne, he establishes his purpose, and he says the heathen are going to have to abide by it. Today we are trying to legislate immunity to the heathen to violate the laws of God, even in these United States. You know that the present trend violates the tradition of your nation. You know that the war on your immigration laws today and the pattern which is being applied by the United Nations and seeking to modify these patterns today would modify your immigration laws and the entire pattern of the experience of your people. The law of God orders immigration laws and exclusion of people from entering into your nations and becoming a part of your society. Someone said, well, this is not righteousness. Yes, this is the righteousness of God to keep you thinking and functioning in relationship to him and to his standards. He said, if you mix these people in, he tells you in the book of Deuteronomy, he tells you in the book of Exodus, that it would be unwise to mix together these forces. For instance, he said, if you try to mix with these people and think as they think and join with them, they'll turn you to worshiping their gods, thinking like they think, and they'll turn you away from my word. You'll turn you away from following me. This is unrighteousness. Now, under the same strategy, in their discussions of equality, which they say must precede the pattern of God's righteousness, for the false prophets that God is here denouncing are coming out to say that the justice of God and the segregation of God's plan and the separation of God's plan is unrighteous. They're saying that the world order and the following of the program of the world order is righteousness. They've reached the point where they want to amalgamate all religions and accept and acknowledge all religions. In fact, bishops and pontiffs are extending their ring to be kissed by the Buddhists and by the Hindus and by all the false religions and said we're willing to receive them into one common brotherhood just so they recognize our ecclesiastical authority. Well, the devil was willing. Even the devil was willing to take God as one of his followers if Jesus would just bow down and kiss his ring. He said, look, you just for one moment acknowledge me, and you won't have to go to the cross, and we'll bypass all the hostility, and we'll coexist. Well, of course, the response of God himself was, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then before you get through with what Jesus has to say about the devil and all of his children, they're total liars. You can't make a deal with them anyhow. And why should God make a deal with the devil? And why should the children of God make a deal with all the pagan heathens on the face of the earth? Or why should you join yourself to them against the righteousness of your God? Now, if we don't accept this threat, then we are told that we're antisocial. And the one thing they've got to do is scramble the brains of the antisocial by giving them mental health treatment in the laboratories of their, and torture chambers of these sadistic psychiatrists. So mechanically today, they would do this. So one of the scriptures talks about those who would try to destroy the souls of men. What do they think? Now, I'm going to tell you this. In the book of Isaiah, when it talks about our race, said unto us a child was born, unto us a son is given, the government was going to be upon his shoulders. His name was called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of his peace, there was going to be no end. Upon the throne of David, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This prophecy concerning Christ, concerning the fulfillment eventually of Christ and full administrative power over his kingdom and of the increase of your race and the spreading out of its destiny, it says, with judgment and with justice. There can exist no court of justice which is not based upon a coordination of the consciousness of those participants in it with the purposes of God as they emerge from him. You know one reason why you'll never get along with the world order and you'll never be at rest with it and why they'll never take you over and why they never be able to brainwash it? Because the spirit in you just resists this thing. It just fights this thing. It just irritates this thing. It breaks inside of you anger. Now there's some of these pacifists who've moved around in all these occult circles said, oh, we've got to be so careful. You better back away from anger. Anger will destroy you. No, my friends, if you're not at anger with evil, the evil will destroy you. Now, did you ever hear of righteous indignation? Well, righteous indignation is a spurred-stirring feeling of absolute opposition that the very righteousness of God which fills your consciousness creates in you against evil. And I'm going to tell you what's moving through America like a fire and what's going to come out of the people and what's going to stem out of the concepts of the leaders that God raises up is righteous indignation. We are indignant against the evil that they would perpetrate while playing down the laws of God. So the Most High God says righteousness and justice, justice and righteousness, judgment and righteousness out of my throne shall last forever. But he said it's time to take trouble, and we're in it. We're going through the period when they would like to deliver you up to the synagogues. They'd like to throw you in prison. But it's your responsibility and mine to awaken everybody in this nation to the fact that if they start this route, then we have replaced the government of the United States with tyranny, and we better get our government back. Now, someone said it isn't the church's responsibility to incite a revolt. We're not inciting a revolt. We're advocating an action. I think it's time for every Christian to make one of his morning prayers as he awakens, O eternal Yahweh, strike judgment upon the enemies of thy kingdom. I think the last thing before you go to sleep, you should, O Yahweh, remove every one of these leaders that would destroy our faith and our race, and catalyze it with your thought, with your action, so it spreads through every mind that possesses the spiritual capacities of your race. But every white man will have his mental abilities affected by the catalyst of power, and we can hear the still small voice telling you to stand up with his brothers. That is a mighty power in the kind of prayer that catalyzes energy, thought, and vision, and spreads it across the nation until the very Shekinah of God's presence stirs men. We have a lot of peewee pipsqueaks with God who run around saying, oh, we should never call for anything that's not good. We shouldn't pray for anything that sounds like judgment. Who told you? Weren't you told to bind the darkness? Weren't you told to lose the light? You ripped up light, you ripped up the glory of Christ and the great structure of the civilization which moves out of his spirit. But you better start finding the darkness. Too many people have been preaching Christ without finding the darkness, and they don't know what the message of Christ was. Well, we tell you this afternoon, the challenge that goes out to every Christian American is to think and pray and testify and hold up for the truth till we see this evil law rescinded. Now, there hasn't been a great persecution going on in this country against people because they were other races. We were as smart as we should have been. We never would have let any other race in here but the white race. When God gets through with America, it's only going to have the white race here, too, except for a few visitors that come by. One of the strange things that is in store, too, is the rest of the world is going to support itself for a change. Isn't that going to be a great day? Of course, that, my friends, follows in a process of justice built upon the patterns of God's purpose. The world order is seeking to scramble the world. Thus it is, again, righteousness to the plummet. You cannot, therefore, dwell in the earth in opposition to the laws of God and dwell in righteousness. To dwell in righteousness, you apply the laws of God, not that by their application that you have accomplish something apart from God, but that you have fulfilled the pattern of perception in cooperation with him because you are within him in the areas of thinking. You're under it because the increased taxes comes from the areas you violated divine law and let the stranger in. It comes from the areas in which you violated divine law and let the wastrel move and you let his usury climb up upon you. Every time you go to the market, every time you start to evaluate where is the production of my life labors, and you see the price of the violation of the law. So since this law is in effect, then in the righteousness of God, you better live by the law of righteousness and lift the chastisement. The Lord didn't love you, he wouldn't chase you. He said, you the Lord love him, he chastens. There's a difference, however, between chastening and the judgment of wrath. I turn inside the declaration of the Scripture, and I see God still intends to carry out this same program, which he's had all the time. He knows your capacities and the thing that makes you different because of the spirit that he's put within you. We mentioned our Friday night tape and repeat the fact that the materialists of our day and the extreme liberals who even try to break righteousness in our churches are also accepting the philosophies and origin and doctrine of the pagans and of the materialists. They're trying to talk about our long road in evolution. I listened to one piker who represents one church. Maybe that wasn't exactly his name, close to it. And he said, having come through the long stages of evolution, if there is any area of society that's progressed farther than the other, he should be willing to raise it to his own level, joining himself with them and forbidding them no entrance, not forbidding them from any entrance into anything that he has attained. Well, some people know their ancestry better than others. But when they start utilizing the theories which Darwin himself did not believe, but advocated only as a brain stimulator by his own life and letters as he was getting old, when they start talking about the fact that all men are animals and all men are beasts, and that they've just evolved, they virtually eliminate the whole area of religion because there is no morality and there is no standard pattern of ethics. To the evolved beast, there is no morality. And they're seeking to set it aside, which is what the world order is trying to do, and say you're antisocial, you're just an old prude if you accept standards. Now, they openly admit Africa never had any standards and Asia doesn't have anything comparable to yours. They want you to sell yours out to go down to their level. When they want to integrate all peoples into the same kind of a social slum that they are indicating they want to produce, this is not, my friends, in conformity with your Christian faith. But let's take a look at it again. I've just read to you passages that said we're the children of God. That we're different than they are because we just don't live alone by senses. We restrain these senses and we live by spirit and intellect. Because of this, therefore, we do not run amok like the animal. And under the patterns of restraint and control, the living entity within the body controls the body, and the body becomes the servant to the intellect and to the spirit. The lower the order, the body rules. Now let me point out to you that within this same structure, they say we're all animals. But I tell you that we're a divine race, we're the sons and the daughters of a living God, and we're as far above the animals as the heavens are above the earth. And because we are not animals, but we are the sons of God, we are God's men and women. Because this is true, we are different from they, and we are above them, and we should never absorb them. This is not our responsibility. Now, they testify where they come from. We testify where we come from. They have to throw out our Bible, but we better throw out their evolution. If they want to teach it to their children, let them teach it to their children, but let us teach the way of our Father. If the church of the living God cannot proclaim the truth of the living God in righteousness, then it hasn't any reason to exist. So I listened to the following. The other day, an eminent priest was talking about the great gains which evolution produced upon the race and how we had progressed from way back in the days of the anthropoids down through the Neanderthal man and up to the present time, and that there were some races due to their environment that hadn't had as good an advantage as others and they had not climbed as fast, and all they were just proving was that Negroes weren't our equals, weren't they? If they're going to stay out there on that evolutionary limb, then, my friends, we progress faster and farther in a less time than anybody on the face of the earth, and we shouldn't go into reverse. Of course, we know that by another foundation, another record, that ministers and priests and prophets of the Most High or any individual that represents Him in any of the hierarchies of any denomination that identifies itself with the name of Christ should be willing to abide by His word or get out of the pulpit. I tell you that these are the doctrines that they are seeking to say that those that don't embrace them are not informed. In fact, we're probably better informed than they are, have read more of their texts and know more than they do about their own textbooks in their era. And I discovered today that these people are leading a way of fallacy. I'd rather, my friends, listen to a Brush Arbor preacher that had faith in God and had no background in the era that they're teaching, but the Spirit of God was upon him, would say, thus saith the Lord, that all the philosophy of destruction that is swept upon our nation in this day. I point out to you that we have arrived. Now, we're in the last few days. We are in the last few days before they will seek to pressure this kind of living upon you. This kind of pressure is going to step up the bestial instincts of your enemy who seeks to invade your society and crush your way of life. Negroes are the instruments to accomplish this upheaval, and the religious force against Christianity is well identified when the commentator said you won't be able to speak against Jews or against Negroes. So I think they catch the pattern as to where all the trouble is coming from. Someone said, are we to obey the law? There's a way to obey it. The way to obey the law is make sure that you have your right. Make sure that nobody can usurp your rights. If they want to talk rights, then let's stand on rights. Don't we, as the majority, have rights? Yes, and we're going to have them. And the rights that we're going to have, they will be discriminating against on the basis of our color and our faith if they try to invade them. We have no protection in the areas of irresponsible courts. But we have a great court of public opinion, which has its resort, the majority who are going to witness things in the very near future that are going to draw them more quickly than anything could possibly have done to a responsible awakening. When they threaten bloodshed because now they're on the road, they've made their mistake. I told you on Friday night of how gangs of Negro boys were mutilating horses, slashing them, killing them, gouging out their eyes and livestock out in Hunter Point in San Francisco, not once but on numerous occasions. And they've been raiding stockyards and places where there were animals and torturing them and killing them in vital, savage, cannibalistic orgies. Methodist Negroes, Baptist Negroes, Catholic Negroes, Negroes all. Say, why is it? Because there's a savage working down inside of them. That savage isn't in you. And you didn't evolve out of it because you never had it. Your race represents civilization and culture, and I can agree with Mr. Beebe, who said even the San Francisco Chronicle, do you want these kind of people running with your children, and you want them living next door in your apartment? No. One of the things that's probably going to happen is that you're going to see houses, apartment houses, reduced from large sizes to 5 or 6 apartment dwellings, because they limit the number of dwellings that you have to integrate, you know, the number of units. In fact, you may discover that industry will get smaller instead of larger. If employers are allowed to discriminate up to 25 employees, you're going to discover smaller units. But before that happens, I think they'll rescind it as a bad law. So I said, don't you think an employer should be able to employ anybody he wants? Yes, if he wants to. But let me tell you something. That if an employer was a Christian, he would keep the environment of his place of business 100% Christian and in conformity with the law of God. And that means that his establishment would stay Christian in life, and there would be no environment for the men and women working inside of that industry that would be detrimental in the pattern of God's righteousness. So it's, what about these people? Well, they can set up their shop. There's equal opportunity. If you don't think so, where do you think all these Cadillac-driving Negroes have come from? Go down here, see if there is an equal opportunity according to their capacity. So we tell you that the major area is going to be an invasion of your faith. We're going to try to use these bypasses to level restrictions against you preaching against the United Nations, the world government, and the Antichrist. They're going to try to utilize the power of the Antichrist to enforce it. They're going to try to deny you the criticism and the review of the area from whence all the trouble comes that you might carry out your responsibilities as a Christian. They're going to try to protect and cover the Jew. Now you know the communist who's conspired to overthrow your government, who operates with 100 fronts and operates under the same background, has been liberated over and over again by your courts from even the legislation of your own nation. He doesn't have to comply with the Smith Act. He doesn't have to do anything that Congress says. But you, my friends, are supposed to comply with everything that's said, whether it's constitutional or not, but he doesn't have to comply even with constitutional provisions. Now, if in this great nation, the devil is to be turned loose and communism is to have freedom, but those that stand for righteousness are to be classified as more deadly and evil than communists, and I've heard this over and over. Did you know that the Methodist Church right here in a conference last week said that the John Birch Society was more deadly to the Methodist Church than the Communist Party? Well, I guess we know where the Communist Party stands. And I guess now we know where the Methodist Church must be. If you're a Methodist, you better get out of that church and join the Christians. Because you can be a Christian and tied up with the wrong people. Let's not be unequally yoked together. So I said, well, you disagree with the John Birch Society. I don't disagree with the truth. I just disagree with their blindness and letting any Jews run their show from the inside. That's their weakness. But we never said if you are going to be a John Bircher, even though they attacked this once under Jewish pressure inside of one of their magazines, we never said you can't belong to this church. We said, come on in. Water spy. And we don't say what they said this week. They said, if you are in the John Birch Society, then get out of the Methodist Church. Even Bob Shuler's son went that far. I'm going to say this. When the churches follow the pattern of the revolution, and when they war against conservatives at any level and think they're more dangerous than communism, then they have embraced the doctrine of the world rather than the program of God. So we point out to you that this is the reason why we're in trouble. And we're in trouble right here because God has opened his word to declare that these prophets have supported wickedness. They have supported the doctrines of the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. They have profaned my word. And the Lord has said concerning this, a whirlwind of Yahweh shall go forth in fury, a grievous whirlwind, and it shall fall upon the head of these wicked. They didn't prophesy thus, saith the Lord. They prophesied the prophecy of the world, of the United Nations, of the new frontier, and of the new deal, and the fair deal. And I'm going to tell you this. They have brought upon America great chastisement and catastrophe. And it's time for Christians to pray, take it up. Not out of the world, but out of our trouble. By awakening men, by challenging them to stand, and then by cleansing the nation. You know, we've heard because we have cited that the Bible teaches Operation Mickey, and that one of these days the rascals are going to be gone. We've heard these people are not emotionally sound. Well, who wouldn't be happy to see the rascals go? Nothing emotionally wrong with that. You just have to believe whether God can do it or not. He said, I'm going to do it. If he's going to do it, then I'm for it, and the quicker the better. America is going to have to choose between Johnson the integrationist and Jesus Christ the segregationist. But the decision is going to be made by the Eternal Himself. Because the Scripture proclaims that I'm going to come with all my holy angels and I'm going to segregate these people again. I'm going to separate the sheep nations from the goat nations. I'm going to give the administration to the sheep nations. I'm going to put my sons and my daughters in power. They're going to sit with me in the seat of authority. We're going to go right down through the schools and separate them again, too. The Supreme Court said that they couldn't have any baccalaureate services this year. They said, well, they've been having some around. Well, they've been getting by with it. But you know why they can't have them? Because I have a copy of the Herald Examiner with me in my briefcase, in which it says that the Jews and the agnostics brought pressure on the Supreme Court to reverse the position of the Florida court that said they could have baccalaureate services and read the Bible. So the tradition of America for two centuries is rolled back, and your graduating children are denied a service in which they have their minds turned towards God, to the necessity of His guiding leading them throughout their next steps in life. I tell you that America had better discover its righteousness in Him and restore justice what it needs to be. For when we permit them to eliminate from our schools prayer and baccalaureate services, but they force us to let communists speak in our schools, then it's time we cleanse the court. Do not have, in these days which are ahead, peace except in our hearts and souls. We're not defeated. God has not forgotten us. The wicked will triumph to empowered sons, change the order. And this we're going to do. Someone said, are we going to go backward? No, my friend. If you re-embrace the Constitution, that's not going backward. Just lift it up into the light of a new day. And then remember this, that in this passage here in Corinthians, is what it tells you, that you are the children of the Eternal. That you are spirit of His Spirit. And then it tells you where you are. It says you are in the righteousness of God in Christ. This is where you are. You're in His wisdom. You're in His knowledge. This is why you're as high above the earth in the world order and its thinking as the earth is in its relationship to the beast in the lower form. However, as to the vision of Christ, Christ looks on the Asiatics, the Negroes, and the pagans as the beast system. He looks on them as serving the powers of darkness controlled by Lucifer, His son. And He said, you come out of her and you operate on My system that you might be blessed. And that your nations would receive the reward that they should have as My children. Always remembering, never forgetting, that deep here in the book of Corinthians, in this great sixth chapter of 2 Corinthians, that it's clearly marked as a way of righteousness, that ye are not to be yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And God calls your race righteousness when it is in the thinking of His mind and isn't yoked with their error. Though the passage has been quoted over and over, so shall it be quoted over and over till the change comes. What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with the temple of idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be My people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate and segregated. 1,000 curses on the United Nations. Let America come out from the pagans, come out from the heathens, come out from the revolutionists. And let's come out from under integration and out from under every satanic law that they tried to put under us by binding it with the light of God's power. And then cleansing our society by bearing witness to the truth until the change comes. But I'm going to determine that on the content of past experience as a nation and on the Constitution which we can still ascribe and make the world see, we have a right to oppose everything we disagree with. We have a right to free speech and free worship. And we're going to have a right to preserve our culture and not to have it invaded. Wherefore, I will be a father unto you. Ye shall be My sons and daughters, saith Yahweh, the Almighty. Do not forget. This is today. This is now this thing has happened. Those that said it can't happen, we'll have to admit it has happened. Now they must go to work. Let's take